Well, look there. The sun is shining. There's some robins. Are those tulips coming up?
I wish.
Has it only been 2 years? Seems like 100. He'll never break out of the Alcatraz of the Rockies, will he? Hey, let's take that $14 billion and build a wall. 80% of the priest gay? Okay, we want to know why you're 3 months behind in your car payments. Not a problem here. We only owe $22 trillion. Well, that's quite a whopper. And Bible? Oh, you're going to want to hear the Bible message today.
Hello, world. I'm Greg Patton. News, information, and comment right here, right now. Let's do this first. Do miracles still happen? And what is a miracle? I think they happen every day. When closed minds open up and the spiritually blind suddenly see the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and rebels surrender and become God's children. Jesus promised that we who believe can have a part in great works like these by making requests in His name. Our Heavenly Father waits for us to draw near with our big petitions. He looks to see that we are asking based on the merits and the reconciling work of Jesus. He also wants us to see that we have confessed all known sin and firmly believe that He will do what He said. We are to have faith that He'll keep His promises and will respond for our good. The Bible says that God delights in giving His children gifts. Matthew 7:11. Yep, God alone knows the perfect action to take and the right time to take it. But He invites us to ask in faith and keep on asking.
I love to sing, He's got the whole world in His hands. A part of that, the wind and the rain in His hands. The snow, too, and the ice and all this stuff. Lord, get rid of it. All over the country, more people experiencing rain and ice, slush, snow, and trouble everywhere. I'm telling you, it is time for spring. Let us pray. Has it been 2 years? Seems like 100. 2 years, 200 interviews. The Senate Intelligence Committee is approaching the end of its investigation into the 2016 election, having uncovered no direct evidence of a conspiracy between the Trump campaign and Russia. That's according to both Democrats and Republicans. Investigators disagree along party lines when it comes to the implications of a pattern of contacts they've documented between Trump and the Russians. The national debt. Where are we in America on the national debt? It's passed a new milestone today, topping $22 trillion for the first time. The Treasury Department's daily statement showed on Tuesday that total outstanding public debt stands at, yep, $22 trillion. The debt figure has been accelerating since the passage of Trump's $1.5 trillion tax cut. So, what will several billion dollars do you now? Joaquin El Chapo Guzman, the Mexican found guilty in a U.S. court on Tuesday of running a criminal enterprise that smuggled drugs into the United States. He's likely headed to the Supermax prison, as it's called. Also described as the Alcatraz of the Rockies, where repeating his past escapes would be, they say, impossible. No one has ever broken out of that prison in Florence, Colorado, since it opened in 1994. It houses the most dangerous inmates in the U.S. prison system. Guzman, the leader of the cartel, 61 years old, who escaped twice from maximum security in Mexican prisons before his most recent capture back in 2016, faces a possible life prison sentence at a hearing scheduled for June the 25th. Wasn't he something? And while we're still on the topic, what about all that money from El Chapo and his conviction? They said they've seized $14 billion. Could that drug money be used to build a border wall? That's one of the questions many are asking following the news of the former drug kingpin being found guilty on all counts. And it's Senator Ted Cruz there from Texas. I think he's got a brilliant idea. The Texas Republican introduced the Ensuring Lawful Collection of Hidden Assets to Provide Order Act. That was in April of 2017, which calls for the use of the $14 billion seized from the cartel drug lord be used to Build that border wall. Excellent. $14 billion would go a long way toward building a wonderful wall to keep Americans safe and hinder the illegal flow of drugs, weapons, and individuals across our southern border. Well, amen. You gotta wonder sometimes, how could things happen? I mean, right in daylight. A female student abducted, daylight, Ohio State University. The chase began Monday afternoon in northern Kentucky as police responded to a call about a person in distress. Officers intervened when the vehicle exited a highway and stopped on a ramp. Gunfire broke out from the vehicle. They returned fire. Both the woman kidnapped and the suspect shot to death. Authorities said troopers killed the suspect, 24-year-old Tyrell Pounds. It's unclear who shot the 20-year-old woman, Skylar Williams. She was his former girlfriend. How sad. Honey, there is someone looking in the garage window. Oh, that wasn't fun. I remember like it was yesterday, back in my bad old days. Got behind on my car payments, and they were gonna repo that thing. Fortunately, I had the garage door locked, and my Corvette was saved. You know, a record total of more than 7 million people in America are at least 3 months behind on car payments as the country's auto loan debt continues to climb. That from the New York Federal Reserve. The New York Fed released those numbers yesterday, which included data until the end of 2018. The 7 million Americans have serious delinquencies when vehicle loan payments are at least 90 days late. It's more than 1 million higher than in 2010 when Americans were still recovering from the financial crisis of 2008. The substantial and growing number of distressed borrowers suggests that not all Americans have benefited from the strong labor market. Well, this is a whopper. Forgive me. A Portland area man has sued Burger King to receive free Whoppers that he was promised. He was promised after he got locked into the restaurant's bathroom. When he emerged, the manager said they'd give him free Whoppers and they reneged or something, so he's agreed to $9,026, the cost of one Whopper value meal a week for the next 22 weeks. My long national nightmare is over, but that's a bit extreme. Enjoy your lunches, sir. You know, that sounds pretty good right now. Morneos, run after this. Well, it's one of those days where I'm thinking about fishing. Why not? For some reason, I was thinking about drifting, especially if I get lazy. Put out only one anchor. If it's somewhat windy, I'm all over the place. In a similar way, unless you anchor in the Word, you can easily slip away from a close relationship with God. The unsecured vessel may float quickly to a new location, whereas a spiritual change can occur slowly and without knowledge. In fact, because such slippage is often gradual, it's easy to adjust to each slight shift and become accustomed to an increasingly superficial Christian walk, like I talk about a superficial New America. Spiritual drifting usually indicates living outside of the will of God. My friend, being adrift over time can produce devastating results in your Christian walk. Sure it can. Christians may eventually lose interest in the things of God. Excitement over spiritual truth diminishes, and obeying biblical commands may seem less important. Then the old heart, which was once so pliable, can lose sensitivity to the leading of the Holy Spirit, and you're going to miss the best God has for your life. And worst of all, your waywardness will grieve the Heavenly Father. Anchor, put out 1, 2, 3 of them there so you don't move from God. Little warning against spiritual drifting. Well, this is going to rock the Catholic Church, and it should. 80% of Vatican priests are gay. Homosexuality, 8 out of 10, according to an explosive new book, which claims to uncover double lives of homophobic priests who use male prostitutes. 80%. The 570-page expose titled In the Closet of the Vatican claims that 4 in 5 clerics in the Roman Catholic Church are homosexuals but aren't necessarily sexually active. French sociologist and journalist Frédéric Martel, who spent 4 years conducting 1,500 interviews for this book, found that some priests maintain discreet long-term relationships while others lived double lives, having casual sex with gay partners and using male prostitutes.
Why does this not surprise me?
Won't surprise you either. Democrat Muslim Congresswoman Ilhan Omar contradicted herself in two tweets and called for defunding of the Department of Homeland Security. But before she did that, she raged against the fact that some transportation, well, TSA workers, who did not receive their paychecks from the government shutdown should. She's from Minnesota, right? Interesting, because the Transportation Security Administration is a division of the DHS, which, if she has her way, would not be funded at all. This is an outrage, she said. I'm hearing from TSA workers back in Minnesota who still haven't received back pay after the shutdown. All workers affected by the shutdown, including contractors, deserve back pay. But then it was like 60 minutes later she called for the agency to be defunded. What a moron. Again, why is she in the U.S. Congress? Because this is the new America, and half of this country is out of their ever-loving minds. Good grief. Count 'em, 54. Federal prosecutors in Arkansas announced the indictment of 54 members of the New Aryan Empire, a white supremacist gang charged with attempted murder, kidnapping, violent assault, meth trafficking, and witness intimidation, among other crimes. As part of the operation against this empire, launched in 2016 after a murder involving gang members, authorities seized 25 pounds of meth, more than $70,000 in drug money, 69 guns. In October of 2017, prosecutors indicted 44 gang members in drug and gun crimes, more charges coming. 54 in Arkansas, the New Aryan Empire. Gonna do it. President Donald Trump intends to sign the border security deal to avoid another partial government shutdown. That, according to several sources, Trump yesterday said operative words here, not happy. Not happy with the tentative deal reached by congressional negotiators late Monday night that falls far short of his original demands. Congress faces a deadline to get the deal passed and signed by Trump before Friday. Again, I think they ought to go for that $14 billion of El Chapo's drug money. What do you think? I think that's a great idea. He's going to get that money, one way or another. So you're looking for love. But they say people are looking for love in all the wrong places. The FTC, Federal Trade Commission, going to celebrate Valentine's Day by reminding everyone not to get scammed when you're looking for love. The agency received more than 21,000 reports about romance scams in 2018, and, well, the loss is unbelievable. $143 million. Of those who said they lost money in a romance scam, the median amount lost was $2,600. That's average. Seven times more than the median loss for other types of frauds tracked by the FTC. Oh, that love, sweet love. Romance scammers often use online dating sites and create fake profiles or use a real person's identity. Scammers also cultivate targets on Facebook and social media sites not specifically designed for dating. Be careful, folks. Okay, why isn't Fort Wayne on the list here? Atherton, California, ever heard of it? Hey, their household income averaged, are you ready for this? $451,000 in 2017. That's Bloomberg's richest places to live in America. Atherton Mayor Bill Wibner said the tree-lined streets and lot sizes of at least an acre offer residents privacy, and, well, it's just wonderful. I bet it is. Scarsdale, New York, north of Manhattan, is number two now. Residents there enjoyed a $30,000 increase in annual income. Again, where is Fort Wayne? Bible, and more Bible right after this. I love to say it. God is great all the time, my friend. We're so grateful to be on this radio station doing a Christian broadcast of news, information, and comment every day at this time. So a big thank you to this station. Have you thanked him lately? Have you given lately? Always a need. Yep. today. Pray about it. See what God would have you do. Greg Patton Ministries out of the Cross Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana, bringing you the good news of Jesus Christ. Revival, love them. Love to meet people in person, share the good news, see lives changed. Your church? Get in touch. GregPatton.com. GregPatten. We're going to see many of you. Yeah, down in Tennessee, Elizabeth in Tennessee, First Free Will Baptist Church, Saturday night, March 2nd, 7 o'clock, next day in the morning there. Same place. Then over in Johnson City, going to be at the By Faith Free Will Baptist Church Sunday night. Get to meet some of you in person. I love it. Thank all of you that have been coming on board on Facebook. I love friends. You can be one today. Greg Patton on Facebook. Thanks again for listening. Thanks for giving. Just being here. It's a really big deal for us. So the question is there any sin too big for forgiveness in the eyes of Almighty God? The Bible tells us that if we seek God's forgiveness through confession of our wrongdoing, then He's faithful, He's righteous to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's 1 John 1:9. God's greater than any sin, my friend, and His love for us is unconditional and it is eternal. Sadly, many people fail to realize this and they go through life feeling unforgiven. I've experienced that so many times in our meetings around the country. Even though forgiveness has been bestowed, they struggle with that guilt and a sense of inadequacy because of something that happened maybe years ago, maybe when they were teenagers. God's ultimate desire for us is that we would experience the freedom, like that word, freedom, which comes from accepting His pardon and grace. If your thoughts are haunted by memories of past sin, then you know how difficult it is to enjoy your life to the fullest. Much of the depression that plagues our society today comes from a crushing weight of guilt, does it not? But once you confess your sin to God, God forgives you. He restores your fellowship with Him. To continue feeling unforgiven is, well, really self-defeating, for crying out loud. God's wiped away your sin. Don't you forget it. He remembers it no more. Isaiah 43:25. If you've confessed to God and you've truly repented, you are the only one who can resurrect the memory of that sin. A man, a woman, a child is what he thinks about all day long. What are you thinking about? One of the best ways I have found to put an end to such troublesome thoughts is to write out a confession to Almighty God and then just sign the thing and you date it. Then you go through the following scriptures concerning the forgiveness of Almighty God. Mark them down. Got a pencil there, pen? Mark them down. Psalm 86:5. Psalm 103:2, 3, and 4. Micah 7:18. Daniel 9:9. 1 John 1:9. And of course, Hebrews 8:12. Write out those verses alongside your confession. And once you've completed this project, read over what you've written there and consider what God has to say to you and about your sin. Then, across the page in big, bold letters, I'd write this: I am forgiven by God because of His Son's love and death at Calvary. Anytime the enemy tries to torment you with your past, hey, take out that paper and pray. I refuse to accept Satan's lies. Based on the death of Jesus Christ for my sins, I stand forgiven for eternity before Almighty God, and I refuse any attempt to cause me to doubt what Christ has done for me. Satan, you and your demons get away from me in the name and through the blood of Jesus Christ. Christ's death is sufficient payment for my transgressions. I am accepted and loved by God. I know it. I believe it. I think this could be called your Declaration of Independence. If Christ sets you free, you'll be free indeed. So I guess, again, the question is, are you free today? Most likely you would say that you are. Perhaps you would base your answer on the fact that you go most anywhere you choose and do what you like without anyone interfering in your life. Thousands of men and women have died at home and abroad while protecting our country from those who would oppress it. Good message for now, wouldn't you say? Or fighting to liberate maybe another nation. That's America. Freedom is always an expensive proposition. And this is especially true in a spiritual sense. Many people think that they have liberty because no one questions their activities or hinders their travel. And yet they're enslaved by all kinds of bondage. Anger and stress and workaholism, bitterness, unforgiveness, depression, anxiety, fear. Boy, that can really imprison you. Any of this sound familiar? While a country can experience liberty on the battlefield, no nation is free until its people are free. And no person is free unless he or she is free on the inside. The truth is, there's only one way for a genuine liberation to happen to you, and I love it. John 8:36, if Jesus Christ makes you free, you will be free indeed. Paul's words from Galatians 5:1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, keep standing firm and do not subject again to a yoke of slavery. Remember what that was like? I was a slave to cigarettes, 4 packs a day, alcohol. To understand Jesus' mission of liberating everyone who follows him, we must know what freedom really means. It's commonly defined as a liberty from any type of enslavement, or the opportunity and privilege to pursue one's desires and life goals without restraint or coercion from anyone. But greatest of all, freedom is to live a godly life through the power of the Holy Spirit. How are you doing today? We're never truly free until the grace and the goodness and the mercy of Almighty God becomes a reality in our personal experience. So there's the question. How are you doing? Well, I can't believe it. She said it seems like only yesterday. What? Looks good. It's only been 68 years, really. A purse containing a prom invitation. This is in Jeffersonville, Indiana. Photos and other items back from the 1950s is going to be returned to its 82-year-old owner after workers found it while demolishing parts of the Indiana High School. Martha Everett lost the black stitch purse more than 6 decades ago. Workers found it in January behind the science classroom cabinets of the old Jeffersonville High School, where Everett was a senior back in 1955. Spokesperson said the district was able to track the woman down thanks to the power, of social media today, after one of her relatives saw a Facebook post. The district plans to mail the purse to Everett's home in Florida. Now, I wonder what was in that purse. And finally, many of you will be able to identify with this one. The young woman brought her fiancé home to meet Mom and Dad, and after dinner, Mom told her father to find out as much as she can about this guy. The father invited him into the study to talk. "So what's the plans?" the father asked. "I'm a biblical scholar," he replies. "A biblical scholar? Well," the father said, "admirable. Then what do you plan to provide a nice house for my daughter to live in?" "I will study," the young man replies, "and God will provide." "And how will you buy that beautiful engagement ring that she so deserves?" "I will concentrate on my studies, and God will provide." "And the children?" asked Dad. "How will you support the kids?" "Don't worry, sir. God will provide." The conversation proceeded like this every time the dad asked a question, and the young idealist insisted God will provide. Later, the mother asked, "How'd it go, honey?" The father answered, "He has no job, he has no plans, and he thinks that I'm God." Yeah, that's today, the new America. Can't say any more. That's it. Hello, world, for a Wednesday. Thanks so much for being here. Tell others about the broadcast, and remember, Facebook, love hearing from you. Until tomorrow, same time, same place, God bless you. Enjoy the remainder of your day, my friend.